First, a reading from Psalm 105. Alleluia! Give thanks to Adonai. Praise God's name and make known God's deeds to the nations. Sing to God. Sing praise and tell of all God's wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts that seek Adonai rejoice. Seek Adonai, constantly seek God's face. Remember the marvels accomplished and the judgments from God's mouth. You descendants of Abraham and Sarah, God's servants, offspring of Jacob and Rachel, God's chosen ones. And now from Matthew 20. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also, go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and going to the first." Those hired about 5 o'clock came. Each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of life. Three new kids arrived at my daughter's middle school this week. They're survivors of Hurricane Katrina. They and their families are camping out with relatives or staying at Wayside Mission. These kids are late for class. Public schools in Louisville started a month ago. Their classmates already have their teacher assignments, their textbooks, their school supplies. We live in a first-come, first-served, early-bird-gets-the-worm world. And these kids are last in line. This week I've been trying to read Matthew's unsettling parable through their eyes. The new kids and their families would recognize the world of Matthew 20. Economic conditions in Roman Palestine in the first century were hard for a lot of people. Unemployment was widespread. Large tracts of farmland had been sold to wealthy landowners or distributed to court officials. That left a lot of people who had only their labor to sell to anyone who wished to hire them. To be a day laborer is a very vulnerable way of life. You live from one day to the next, not knowing whether you will have life's most basic necessities, food for your stomach, a place to sleep, clothes for your back. New children at my daughter's school know what that's like. But as we see in the text, even among the day laborers, there is a hierarchy. Some people get hired first. Maybe people with connections, people who are still young and healthy. They can even bargain a bit with the landowner about the terms of their contract. But as the day drags on, the workers get more desperate. No work means no food. By the time the owner of the vineyard comes at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, those who are left don't have the luxury of bargaining. They are ordered to go into the vineyard, and they go, without any clear agreement on wages, just glad to have some kind of work. When you have mouths to feed, a little pay is better than nothing. So far, the parable makes sense. It makes sense that some people are wealthy enough to have stewards working for them and to hire as many laborers as they need for the harvest. It makes sense that people with certain advantages are at the front of the line. It makes sense that some people are left out, passed over, stuck at the back of the line, wondering if they'll have anything to feed their children at the end of the day. It makes sense that the landowner is gruff to these kind of people, accusing them of being lazy and ordering them to the vineyard without even discussing a fair wage. This is the common sense world, the that's just the way it is world. You don't question it. You're too busy just trying to get by. The whole game is rigged, to be sure, but you've pretty much figured out the rules of the game, and if you really scramble, you might just make it. This parable paints the first-come, first-served world we know, the world that the Gulf floodwaters uncovered for all to see. As journalist Bob Herbert has pointed out, long before Hurricane Katrina blew in, many of her victims were no stranger to the blues. The poor and black, the very old and very young, the sick and disabled, they were already at the back of the line. Bad schools, government corruption, pervasive violence, the desperate scramble just to get by, those were already facts of life. Life was already grim for them. Hurricane Katrina just made things grimmer. So why is this parable in Matthew 20 good news? The parable takes this world that masquerades as common sense and turns it into a theater of the absurd. The owner of the vineyard comes back at the end of the day and gives those who have worked only an hour a whole day's wages. How ridiculous. Imagine what his investment manager is going to say when he finds out about this. What do you mean you just felt like being generous? Where's your business sense? How are the shareholders going to take this? The other day laborers are pretty upset too. A denarius is not a great wage, but we've played by the rules of your game. Our labor has made you a rich man. We've earned every penny of our wages and then some. If you're just going to throw money around, why don't you throw some our way? We clearly deserve it more than those losers. The one group in the parable we don't hear from is the 5 o'clock group, those at the back of the line. No big surprise, they're not used to getting speaking parts. They don't question the fairness of the landowner's pay scale. They've known from the start that this so-called common sense world isn't fair. Why complain about the unfairness of a game you already know is rigged? So while the other workers mutter and fuss, the 5 o'clock workers enjoy the joke. They enjoy the absurdity of the moment, knowing that their children will have something to eat tonight. As the whole first-come, first-serve, common-sense world begins to totter and crack, they catch a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. God doesn't want a world in which people have to bargain for their basic livelihood, in which some people are permanently shunted to the back of the line, in which desperate parents come home with nothing to feed their children. God is turning this world upside down. And what about us? Some of us know what it's like to be at the back of the line. Others of us have spent most of our time more toward the front of the line. This glimpse of the reign of God calls all of us to loosen our grip on this first-come, first-served world. This glimpse calls us to repent of the way we've let it become our home, the way we've been caught up in its petty resentments and envies. It reminds us that there is nothing absolute, final, or sacred about the way things are. The first will be last, and the last will be first, says Jesus. You can see why he got into so much trouble. Jesus Christ invites us to be in on the joke. When the absurdity of the common sense world is revealed, when the last in line are given reason to rejoice. I don't need to remind you that this world is not the kingdom of heaven. But how are we to start living into that promised world now? Tracing this glimpse of heaven into our present world will sometimes find us collaborating with others for shared civic ends. Sometimes it will find us called to protest and dissent. But whatever form it takes, this glimpse of heaven makes us restless. This glimpse of God's future world makes us restless in the present. It calls us to hunger and thirst for the sharing of God's abundance, for housing and food and clothes and backpacks and pencils and books for the new kids at my daughter's school, for jobs and health insurance and hope for their families. This parable is good news for those new children at my daughter's school. And it's good news for us too. Amen.